Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service this morning. It's this morning. PMC is a large and a lively church, and there's lots going on, so please do make sure to and read the bulletin each week. Good front page article this week by, Gavril and that's not right. Gareth and Avril, that's the one. So make sure you read that. And of course, we've got our weekly notices with Morgan. Should we go for that?
Who's it preaching? Dave? Well, we better make this bit quick because we'll be here all day otherwise. Just kidding. Welcome to the bulletin. Last Thursday, I stretched my culinary skills to their limits and made a load of frozen pizzas for the last session of Twinkly Tots before the summer. We also got the bouncy castle out and had lots of fun colouring in. What a great send-off before the summer. This Tuesday, the collection of long life products for the Carlisle Refuge will be here at PMC at 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. So feel free to bring your tin beans, chopped tomatoes and kidney beans along with any other products you may have in your cupboard. Next Sunday we have our family fun day. There will be party games for our young people during the service and games and a picnic out on St. Catherine's Field after. So come along and get involved. It would be great to see you. Our ACM booklet is here. This contains all the reports from the various areas around church for this last year. If you wish to order a copy, please contact Sarah in the office and she will sort one out for you. Finally, Tim, if you're watching this, cover your ears now. I'm serious. Do it. Do it now. Next week, Tim has his first service back after his sabbatical, and I thought it'd be really nice to do something to welcome him back. And so, if you own a waistcoat or some kind of sleeveless jacket, it would be great if you could bring it along with you to the service next week. There will be a point in next week's bulletin where I will signal you to put it on. There's absolutely no pressure to participate in this, but I think it'll be really funny and a good way to welcome back our minister after 3 months away. That's the bulletin for this week. If you have any good news or stories that you want to share, please contact the office so that we can feature them in these videos. And as always, if you want more details on what's going on, go to the weekly info section on our website or give us a follow on Facebook for any further updates. Now, from everyone here at PMC, God bless and have a fantastic week.
It's going to be quick. There's two other people who want to say something to you. First of all, Sarah wants to tell you about coffee afterwards. So you're all staying for cake and coffee? You're awake? Yeah.
Just ever so quickly, yes, there is coffee afterwards, and Gareth is providing donuts as well, so it's an extra reason to stay. It might be slightly confusing. Centrepoint are raising money for Centrepoint, but it's not how it sounds. So Centrepoint at PMC is raising money for Centrepoint, the youth homeless charity. So we're not raising money for ourselves. We've done a poster, but it may not be clear while you're getting your coffee and chatting to people. So we're not raising money for ourselves, but we are raising money for Centrepoint, the youth homeless charity, which operates in quite a lot of cities around our country. So that's just to clear up any confusion you might have, and you may want to be slightly more generous if you think it's not coming to us. Thank you.
And then Keith has a word to say as well.
I must thank Morgan for his introduction for the collection on Tuesday. I hope when you do bring it, it's not thrown at us. Just given gently. If you don't want to listen to me, which I could quite understand, why don't you check out hymn 672. 672, especially verses 2 and 3. No, don't rush it yet, please. Especially at the first two lines of each verse. In fact, that hymn will say probably more than I could ever say about what we should be doing. Last time I spoke, I said I didn't want to speak to you, which was a rather odd introduction, simply because I feel over the last months and years, we've asked and asked. But in reality, the homeless haven't gone away, and their problems are getting worse, and the pressure on the refuge, especially in the context of food, is increasing. So that's why we're aiming for the collection on Tuesday. On a very positive note, already with various contacts throughout Eden, we have in our hall at home 38 bags of food, 4 boxes of food, and we received a lot of donations. And literally before I even got through the door this morning, another donation was promised as well. So people have been very generous so far. Now that's not for PMC to switch off and say, well, it's all done. It's as an incentive. It'd be great if we could double the 38, make it 70 odd, and or even more, in fact. Now we are down to the phrase a tin a day, because we don't shop on a Sunday, of course. No, we don't. And we've got Monday, just Monday. And it'd be great if Penrith was swept clean of beans. I have this vision when they look at their computers in Morrison's and see the sale of beans shot up, right? And therefore they'll adjust. And the same in Aldi, the same at Sainsbury's. Beans must go on Monday, please. So, I hope somebody has checked out 672, and therefore I do emphasise again, Tuesday, 9 to 10 at PMC. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Keith, I wasn't listening. Well, you told me to read 672, didn't you? Go to the hungry, to those who have nothing. Go where the farmlands are empty and bare. I broke the bread for the people around me. Out of my plenty, think what you can share. Go to the homeless, to those who have nowhere. Go to my people who sleep out in the rain. I know that you are a generous church, so please... there's tea and coffee and support the homeless through Centrepoint. I wasn't listening. Was it Thursday morning? Tuesday morning. Let's come to worship now. And Graham's going to lead us in some songs.
And all who are able, praise him, you stars above, galaxies all in motion. Praise him, you thunder clouds, ringing throughout the heavens, from every mountain top to every wild ocean. Oh, hear all the universe sing praise. Oh, sing praise. Let everything that breathes, let all the earth proclaim, great is the Lord our God. praise him forever. Let all that is within me magnify his name. Great is the Lord our God, praise him forever. Praise him, you beating hearts, sing for the life he's given. Praise him, you rescued ones, join in the sound of heaven. From every mountain top to every wild ocean, oh, hear all the universe sing praise. Oh, sing praise, let everything that breathes, let all the earth proclaim. Great is the Lord our God, praise him forever. Let all that is within me magnify his name. Great is the Lord our God, praise him forever. Creation Christ, hear the holy roar, hear this anthem rise in the house of God. Oh, creation Christ, hear the holy roar, hear this anthem rise in the house of God. Oh, creation Christ. Oh, sing praise, let everything that breathes, let all the earth proclaim. Great is the Lord our God, praise him forever. Let all that is within me magnify his name. Great is the Lord our God, praise him forever. Praise him forever. Hear the holy roar, hear the holy roar, hear the holy roar, praise him forever.
Sweet sound in your ear. a moment to send up your prayers of love to the Lord.
Continue in prayer. Let's pray together. The opening words of the communion service, the collect for purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are kept hidden, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Reminds us there are things we're not proud of. We pray that as we say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Here at PMC, we're also marking this Sunday as MHA Sunday. You can choose really which Sunday you want through the year. Sometimes it's in June. Other things were happening in June, so we've decided that this would be a good opportunity. So hopefully as you came in, you were given some envelopes like this. They are envelopes, although They're not always easy to spot, that fact that it is an envelope and not just a card. And there are little booklets, ones like this, and there are other little booklets as well, square ones, with information about MHA on them. I thought it would be a good opportunity because here in Penrith we have particular strong links with MHA because of Woodlands just down the road. I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to meet Tracy. Tracy, come and join me. Are you going to use that?
I can use that one if you like.
Does that work, Fred?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah. Then it looks as though we're interviewing for a job or something.
So tell me who you are and what you do.
Right. My name is Tracy Temple, a name I married in before I had ever any intention of having anything to do with the church. My surname, that is. So I am the chaplain at Woodlands. I actually live in Dumfries, so I do travel up and down the motorway to come here. What do I do?
Yeah. What's the chaplain's job?
The chaplain's responsibilities in my job description is to oversee the spiritual care of the residents, their families and the staff at the place at the location that we work in. So it's not just a matter of holding a service, which I do, thankfully I have people coming in to help us in that spiritual service, but it's also general well-being and mood, you know, to go and be that listening ear, which I saw you were advertising after the service here and things. That's what I am when I'm at Woodlands. I can take funerals. I actually like playing games. So it's to be part of the life and life in the home or the location, to be there to support whenever needed, to enjoy the good times and the bad times. The hard times and the easy times with everybody. So basically that's it in a nutshell. But although I think every chaplain within MHA has got a Christian faith, we are there to support everybody, whether they've got a faith, another denomination, another Christian denomination, or they've got another faith altogether, or actually no faith. We're there to be there for everybody in whatever capacity. So I might need to call in colleagues and ministers from other denominations if the residents are asking for that help and they're not able to access it themselves.
Okay, so you've told us about yourself. MHA, what is MHA and what does MHA do?
See, that's why I've got my piece of paper here, because it's a script I wrote earlier in good Blue Peter form. MHA, Methodist Homes for the Aged, or Methodist Homes Association. I never know what the final A bit is.
Yeah, we keep changing it, I think.
It's changed over the years. Because MHA came from the Methodist Church. In 1943, it was founded by a man called Reverend Walter Hall, which is pre-NHS. So it was, you know, in the middle of the Second World War. And it was formed as a need to support some people in the West Yorkshire area, I think, initially, who were needing some housing and some support and some care. And so the official line is that it's an independent charity now to provide care, support and accommodation for older people. And it's now the largest charity care provider in the UK. So that's a nice umbrella to have
largest,
over us.
The largest care provider in the...
The largest care provider in the UK. We have care homes. We have retirement living, independent living with care, such as Woodlands is. They've also diversified now into providing care at home and social communities. They're modernising, like we all need to do, into digital communities as well, so people can access support and help and things online if people can't get out. And a lot of that evolved over the COVID pandemic time when everybody was having to go online and find new ways of doing things. and keeping people connected.
So tell me, the last two and a half years have obviously been difficult for care providers and for homes. How did you get through the last two and a bit years at Woodlands? What's it been like in the home?
We've got through it. That's what I will say, is we have come through it. It was tough, like it was for everybody. Because people at Woodlands independent living, each flat had to be treated as a separate accommodation. So therefore we had to close, when the lockdowns were on, we had to close the public areas. We had to ask people to stay in their own flats.
Wow.
And so they did provide what was appreciated. I know many residents said this to me, was the support that was received from the church at that time, of people willing to go and do the bits of shopping that they needed to do, ones that couldn't get out. Because many are in vulnerable situations and with health concerns. So, you know, to be able to phone somebody to ask to do some shopping and have it left at the door and then taken to the flats by the staff, because we weren't able to allow people in who weren't residents. So it was traumatic. Thankfully, if my memory serves me correctly, we didn't get a wave of COVID going through the premises. So that is such a blessing and a tribute really to the fact that people were doing as they were supposed to do, and all the staff as well coping with all the extra hand washing, the PPE and everything that we had to wear if we went into anybody's flat.
And what's it like now? Are you back to normal, or is there a new normal? Or
we're just about back to what I would say is normal. Yes, it's been a lovely journey coming out. There was a higher percentage of residents who did die in that period for a mix of reasons, not COVID. But everybody was affected by the isolation. And in such a way, you know, when you're not going out using your mobility, and the mental health aspect was a big problem. Feeling lonely and isolated, mood goes down, and it was really hard to try and keep everybody going. Now, thankfully, we are nearly back to normal. We had a wonderful Jubilee celebration in the garden a few weeks ago, waving the flags, singing the songs and enjoying cakes and everything. I've got a nodding head there. we've got a full routine of activities now, we've got back to knit and natter. I can give you a list if you want, but it might be here a long time. we have exercise classes, we have a music group, listening group, we have games afternoons, carpet balls and skittles. As I say, we have a show coming in. In fact, I think I missed it yesterday. Saturday afternoon when I'm not there. Mm-hmm. so there's a weekly round of activities over the month, and invited speakers to come in and speak. So we're never too... One of the taglines of MHA is to live later life well, says she, the four words. And part of me, my role as chaplain, because we didn't have we haven't had a care manager in situ for a while, was to step up on getting the activities back to a full steam ahead. And so, you know, we encourage people to do as much as they're able, in whatever capacity. Learning, we can never stop learning, so it's great to have people coming in, giving talks, and finding out about the local area, or new skills, or how to make Christmas flower decorations out of a tin of beans, which, there you go, when you finish with your beans, there's something there for you. It's back to normal.
So how, as a church, do you think we can support you in Woodlands and the work that you're doing? You said that during COVID, you know, we were helping to do shopping and things. What's the things we could be helping you do now?
Right. I have got a list for this as well.
Right.
Of ideas.
I did not.
I must admit, I know coming in 3 years ago to Woodlands, I found the history of Woodlands wonderful, because it had been, you know, MHA had been birthed out of the Methodist Church, and Woodlands, I think, was birthed out of the Methodist circuit here. So there's a strong connection and historically together, and that support has been appreciated over the years. Obviously, the coming in for the services continuing is fantastic.
I was there on Thursday, it was me.
Yeah. We have people who come in to help provide, make a coffee morning, to serve coffees and teas. It may sound small, but many of our residents now are older, obviously, and not as able to come out into the public areas and make their own drinks. So the fact that somebody comes in to make drinks and refreshments for them while they're gathering and have a chat and a catch-up is appreciated. Now, what I'm looking forward to is, if anybody wants to come and help, there's sort of two levels individually. Formally, if you want to come in as a formal volunteer, which would, you know, MHA provides training, because obviously it's a care environment, so that would need a small bit of training, online training, etc., being aware of the fire and all the health and safety and food preparation formally. That could then be used at any point, you know, in the event. If anybody wants to come in and just informally speak to the manager, and we'll see how we can arrange it anyway, of making teas and coffees or helping at other events, to be there so things can be facilitated for our residents. This is a long guest here. We've got music, we've got talks organised, we've got games organised. We've got a few residents now who are interested in art and craft work. So I'm looking for information of anybody who would be, you know, come in once a month or something, and maybe, or even whatever, once a quarter, who could come in and encourage and facilitate an art group or a craft group, a quite light sort of thing, but somebody who's got a bit of knowledge, because if you ask me to paint, I run out of numbers. So that's what I'm looking for at the moment. Or anybody, anything, don't cross yourself out. So continuing with the services, continuing with coming up, and, you know, anybody wants to come in and help and facilitate anything, or just make a cup of tea and sit and chat, that would be appreciated. So you could talk to me or contact Woodlands office direct.
Joan sitting up at the back there very quietly.
Did I miss anything?
Afternoon yesterday.
Right, so you were up helping. You were up helping with the teas and coffees at the drama company coming in. So it's nothing big. It's, you know, a commitment to come and offer a help. It doesn't even have to be every month, you know, but whatever. Would be really appreciated now. Residents, many of them don't come out because of the health conditions. Just love seeing new faces coming to just chat with them as well.
Let's just stop and pray for a moment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the life and work of MHA over the years throughout this country. But particularly I thank you for Woodlands. Thank you for that place. Thank you for the home that it is for so many people. I pray that it would be a place of love and care and compassion and peace. Let your love dwell there. Pray for each of the residents. Pray your blessing upon them and all the staff there too. Particularly your blessing now on Tracy. Thank you for her. Thank you for the gifts and skills and graces that you've placed in her. And I pray that she would continue to show your love in action to each of the people that she meets day by day. Bless her richly so that she can be a blessing to others. And I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tracy. Are you sticking around after for the tea and coffee?
I am, yes.
You're not rushing off to Dumfries?
I won't miss a tea or a coffee.
Okay. But do have a chat.
Can I just say one more thing? This is a bit of a cheeky one, but I might get in trouble with my manager if I don't manage to get this plug in. As well as coming to help, if anybody's considering needing to relocate, there are accommodations available, rented and leasehold. So just inquire at the office. You never know. You might see me more often.
I need to get my name down, don't I? Graham.
Let's continue in worship as we sing. When I am lost, I have been redeemed.
This little square MHA card, it says, our theme for MHA Sunday 2022 is growing together, inspired by Isaiah 43 verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? So I thought that would be our starting point. today. And so Audrey's going to come and read that passage for us from Isaiah 43.
Read from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 15 to 21. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Amen.
In the materials, they helpfully give you a sermon as well, but I can't preach other people's sermons. I've tried it in the past. It just doesn't work. So this is my thoughts on that particular passage from Isaiah 43. I want to say very clearly that I believe in revival. I believe in revival. And not only do I believe in revival, I believe that it's closer now than it was last week. It was closer now than it was last year. That revival is just around the corner. I believe in revival. That's quite a claim to make, particularly as you look back on the last 100 years of church history in this country, at least, where we've seen decline ever since the First World War, people coming back from the war thinking, how do we believe in a God who allows the Somme? After the Second World War, how do we believe in a God who allows Auschwitz? And so there's been decline, steady decline throughout that period. When I went off to theological college in the 1980s, they had started doing church censuses. Is that the right plural? Censi? Censuses. And doing audits, sort of finding out how many people were in church on a Sunday. Their claim was, or their prediction was, that the Methodist Church from the 1980s, this was, the Methodist Church would have gone out of business by 2020. We're still here. The latest predictions that I saw, based on the R number, you know how COVID spreads, the R number, do you remember R numbers? One tells another and one tells another, you know, how the disease will spread. Well, saying in terms of evangelism, one Christian telling another what the R number would be for existence by 2034. So we got an extra 14 years somehow. 2034. I take such predictions with a pinch of salt, you can probably tell, partly because they're give an overall impression without drilling down to what's really going on. And even in the Methodist Church, I can take you to churches which are growing and thriving and flourishing within Methodism. So it's not a blanket across the board, it's just generalizations. And you know, about generalizations, they're generally lies. So revival. We've seen decline. but I believe that revival is around the corner. Why do I believe that? Because I stand on the Word of God. Take this passage from Isaiah 43. Okay. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. God begins here by reminding us who He is. You can trust me, says God. I've got this. I am able. I can do this. Is there anything that's too difficult for God? No. Is revival in the Methodist Church too difficult for God? Ooh. No. The valley of dry bones. Is anything too difficult for God? Yes, God can. God is able to do this because He is King. Talking about the Jubilee, if the Queen wants something, by and large, she can get it, can't she? Ish, by and large. If she wants scrambled egg for breakfast, she can have scrambled egg for breakfast, can't she? All she's got to say is, I want scrambled egg for my breakfast, and she can get it because she is sovereign. And God is sovereign. And what He wants, He can have. A few weeks ago, back at Pentecost, that weekend of Pentecost, a few of us met up at Kirkoswald, at the chapel at Kirkoswald, and we were listening to a recording of a guy called Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell was an evangelist who went in 1949 to the Isle of Lewis, to the Hebrides. And in 1949, revival broke out in the Hebrides, the Hebridean revival, 1949 through to 51. And he was describing his memories of that revival. It wasn't just that the people in the church had a really good time for a couple of years and things were really exciting. His definition of revival was something that hit the whole community. Everybody on the Isle of Lewis was affected by the revival that hit the Isle of Lewis on that occasion. So much so that people were queuing up at the police station to confess their sins and to say, you know, these were the crimes that I've committed, and the police didn't know what to do with all these people that were queuing up. But although it had an effect on the whole community, Duncan Campbell was very keen to say, it wasn't me. Although I led the evangelistic campaign or whatever, although I led services in the churches, it wasn't me. He kept on using this particular phrase that rang with me. He says, revival is a sovereign work of grace. Sovereign. In other words, if God wants to bring revival, He will bring revival. It's not up to us to work ourselves to the bone in order to try and produce revival. It's a sovereign work of God. It's a sovereign work, act of grace. If God wants revival, He can bring revival, and God can. He is able. Having said that it's a work of grace, and it's sovereign, it's God's work, having looked in some detail, as I've done, at past revivals, they do have certain things in common. And one of the things that they have in common, whether it's the Hebrides in 49, whether it's the Welsh Revival, 1904 to 1906, whether you go back all the way to Wesley and Whitfield, the thing that they have in common is that before revival breaks out, there have been some committed prayers, prayer warriors, committed to praying. On the Isle of Lewis, for example, they were having prayer meetings from 10 o'clock at night to 4 o'clock in the morning. Anybody up for this? They were committed to prayer. If they were too busy to pray, they would find time to pray. But let's be clear that prayer isn't about forcing God's arm up His back in order to get Him to do things that He wasn't going to do otherwise. That's not what prayer is about. What was happening in those prayer meetings was that they were full of anticipation about what God was going to do. Lord, You've done it in the past, You can do it again. That was their prayer. So they were full of expectation. Be expectant. Wait for God, because God is going to do a great thing. And prayer built up that sense of expectation that they were on the threshold of something here, that something big was going to happen, that revival was about to break out, and that was the sense that they were getting in their prayer meeting. And that was what prayer was all about, building up that sense of expectation that God was on the move. I wonder what prayer meetings are like here at PMC right now. Is there that sense among us that God is on the move? That expectation that God is going to do something. The next verse in says this. This is what the Lord says. He's the one who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. In other words, God is reminding the people of Isaiah's day of what God has done in the past. In Isaiah's day, the people are broken, crushed. They are in exile in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. The walls of Jerusalem are crumbled, are broken. The gates have been down. Jerusalem is in ruins. And God says, do you remember how I rescued you in the past? How I took you out of slavery in Egypt, across the Red Sea, and how I brought you from slavery to freedom. Do you remember that? What I've done in the past, I can do it again. It's going to be different this time. Instead of going through the waters, this time you're going to go through the desert, but I'll provide rivers in the desert. But what I've done in the past, I can do it again. I've got a CV here, you know? I've got evidence that I can back up this claim. I've done it once, I can do it again. So if God rescues his people out of Egypt and brings them from slavery to freedom, if God now is going to rescue his people from slavery in Babylon, a broken and defeated people, Jerusalem in ruins, and he's going to rebuild that, God says, I've done it once, I've done it twice. I've done it more than that. I've done it so many times. And I can do it again. So get excited. Where's the excitement? Where's the passion for God? To see God in action, to see God on the move, doesn't that excite you? To anticipate that, am I bothered? We're just blood on. There's the excitement and the passion behind all of that. We've got a God who is able, a God who has done it in the past, and a God who will do it again. But then he says, it's not going to be like it was in the past. So although I've reminded you, says God, of what I've done in the past, bringing people through the Red Sea and out into freedom, although I've reminded you, don't think of the past. Don't keep looking back over your shoulder. In the Methodist Church, we can be good at this sometimes, about looking backwards. I've got some spies from COAM, so don't let them listen to this bit. But in some of the village churches that I go to, they'll tell me about what it was like in their village in the past. How great it was on chapel anniversaries, when the church was full. And so much full on chapel anniversaries, you had to get chairs out of the stable at the back and bring them to the front and line them up. If you weren't there at least half an hour before the service, you were going to be standing at the back. That was what chapel anniversaries were like on the Fell side in the past. And wouldn't it be good if we got back to that? And I'd say yes, but don't look backwards. Actually, what they don't tell you is that all the other village chapels closed their services that Sunday to come to their anniversary. But don't keep looking back at the old times. Don't keep looking back at the way that it was in the past. God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, that's a great word, isn't it? Whenever in Scripture you come across that word, behold, stand and look and be amazed. That's what behold is. I'm doing a new thing. In other words, what's going to happen with this revival that I say we're standing on the threshold of It will be different from it was in Duncan Campbell's time in the Isle of Lewis. It's going to be different from the Welsh revival. It will be different. Why will it be different? Because the environment and the atmosphere around us has changed. It can't be the same. With Duncan Campbell, you know, they were just kind of getting cinema on, you know, and people were going to the cinema, and that's why they weren't going to church, you know, and so they were worried about the effects of cinema. Now, it's going to be very different, isn't it? The Welsh revival in 1904, well, they didn't have televisions, they didn't have mobile phones, they didn't have texting, they didn't have TikTok and Twitter and all of these things. So the atmosphere has changed, and the way in which revival will come has to be very different because our society is very different. If I'm going to predict some things here, I would say there are three differences that we're going to see coming. Number one, there will be fewer people with dog collars around. There are going to be fewer. We're a dying breed. Okay? The number of those that are coming forward for ordination at Methodist Conference last week is dropping. The number of people that we can afford to pay is going to drop. Now that's not a negative. I think that's a positive. You look back to the revival brought about by the primitive Methodists, Clowes and Dow and Bourne and in the 1820s, up at Nenthead, in the 1820s, all of that was lay-led. And even in Wesley's day, what would happen is that once you were converted by Wesley's preaching, what would you do? You'd be in a small group, a house group, a home group, with a lay leader, your class leader. And so it was predominantly lay-led as a revival. And that's the way it's going to be as well. Much more emphasis in the future on lay leadership. The God for All strategy says that there should be a lay leader in each of the chapels. And it's going to be lay-led. So fewer people with dog collars. Fewer church buildings, dare I say it. We've got too many buildings. Too many buildings. We're going to fight over which ones we keep, because everybody wants to keep their own building, but we've got too many buildings. One thing that COVID has taught us is that we don't need buildings. In fact, we can worship wherever. We can worship in a school hall. We can worship in, this goes against the grain for a Methodist, we can meet in pub meeting rooms as Alpha did. We don't need buildings in the same way that maybe we thought we did. So fewer people with dog collars, fewer buildings, and less emphasis on Sunday morning as our primary meeting point. Because again, the landscape has changed. Sunday is not the day that it used to be. It's a day like every other. So I noticed the kind of, I don't know what the right word was, when Keith asked you, you don't go shopping on a Sunday, do you? Not everybody said, no, they don't. Whatever. Maybe midweek things, midweek home groups. That's where church begins. That's where church is all about. What we have on Sunday morning is congregation, but church is midweek in small groups, in people's home, lay-led. We come together at some other point, maybe. So less people with dog collars, less churches, less emphasis on Sunday morning as our primary meeting point. Folks, are you up for that? Change. We don't like change here. Change. And yet I say embrace the change, because it's coming. Embrace the change. Maybe I'm mistaken about those three things that I said, but I believe that when revival comes, it will radically alter and change church as we know it. And then the last thing. Now Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, God through Isaiah is saying, it's happening. It's already springing up. Can't you see it? It's already happening. The green shoots of revival are already springing up all over the place. Can't you see it? So my question for you is, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see those places where there is revival, where there is new growth, where things are happening? Back in the 1920s, the Catholic Church produced a report called the Missio Dei, that is the mission of God. And they sent some theologians away to think about what the mission of the church was. And they came back and they said, it's not the mission of the church. There's no such thing as the mission of the church. The church doesn't have a mission. God has the mission. It's the mission of God. And what the church has to do is catch hold of what God is doing and join in. Join in. Wherever you see God at work, join in with what he's already doing. Can't you see it? Can you see what's happening? I came across an interesting fact the other day. Do you know how wide it is across the Red Sea? How far is it across from one side of the Red Sea across to the other sea? The other side of the sea, do you know? At its narrowest point, Google it later. At its narrowest point, if Moses takes them across at the narrowest point, it's 18 miles. Much, much wider at the main point. But if he takes them across at the narrowest point, it's 18 miles. That's a good walk, isn't it? Particularly if you're pushing a buggy or a wheelchair or you've got all your pots and pans in a car and everything and you're pushing them over. That's a good walk, isn't it, across 18 miles. The other thing is, so if you are standing at sea level, so you're standing, here's the shore, and you're looking to the other side, how far can you see before you get to the horizon? How far is the horizon away? Do you know this? 3 miles. 3 miles. In other words, you can't see the opposite shore. If you stand on a cliff, maybe, like on, you know, Dover, you can probably see the see France. But if you're at sea level, 5 foot or whatever eye line, you can only see about 3 miles. You can't see the other side. So what are you going to do? All you've got to do is walk by faith, putting one foot in front of another and step out. Just the bit in front of you. Just the green shoots. Not the full blown thing. Just the little bits of growth that you can see around you, but step out and step into it. I remember, I think it was the first Easter that I was here, and I preached on the sermon, the story about the disciples on the boat going from one side of the lake to the other. It's a strange thing to do on Easter. And they were sat in the boat, and the storm comes, and Jesus is asleep at the bottom of the boat. And they wake Jesus up and they say, aren't you frightened that we're drowning? It feels a little bit like that in the Methodist Church right now. That the storm is coming up over us. And it feels like we're going down. We're drowning. There's a storm around us. And they wake Jesus up. And Jesus calms the storm and rebukes the wind and the waves. And then he has a go at them and says, what happened to your faith? Why didn't you believe? Where's your faith? Where's your faith gone? And they're saying, well, we couldn't see. The squall came and, you know, we couldn't see where we were going. We wouldn't see where do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? What have they missed that Jesus says to them, where's your faith? And what they'd missed is that at the beginning of that passage, Jesus says to them, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. We are going to the other side. We are going to the other side. And there in the middle of the boat, in the middle of the storm, they're saying, we're not going to the other side, we're going down. We're sinking. And they'd lost their faith in Jesus. I love Ishmael. Do you know the songwriter Ishmael? Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of you. He's got one particular song, kind of got a reggae calypso beat to it. And it's a little boat out on the sea. And there's Jesus asleep in the bottom of the boat. And the storm comes. And the chorus of this song of Ishmael says, I'm in the boat and it won't go down. I love it. I'm in the boat and it won't go down. And all the time you see, Jesus is there in the bottom of the boat. He's there. And all the time that he's in the boat, it won't go down. So revival is coming, yes, even to the Methodist Church. Believe it. I believe it. The question is Jesus still in the boat with us? Or did he hop out at some stage? Did we miss that? Is Jesus still in the boat with us? Maybe it's time to wake him up. Come on, Lord. You've done things. We're full of expectation and excitement about the new thing that you're going to do. We can see it already. Here it is. I've asked Tracy to lead us in a time of prayer. Let's pray together.
We bring our prayers of intercession for our world, our communities, our people and ourselves. And I invite you to in response to the words, Lord, in your mercy, to say, hear our prayer. God of creation, this wonderful world that is so old and yet ever new, a world that is damaged, hurting and suffering from our actions. Guide us as to how to best care for this world, to live with and to cherish all of your creation, to help mend and not destroy, to listen and to learn, to love and to cherish this potential paradise on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God in Trinity, God of community, we pray for our communities, for nations and peoples, for groups and families and friends. Help us to follow your example of living together as one. Help us to agree to disagree, to walk the path of peace, to celebrate our uniqueness, our similarities and differences, and our diversity as we reflect your love for us into the whole world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, we pray for all who work to support people in our communities. Bless the gifts and words, bless the time and talents, and transform them so that there may be justice and equity for those in later life and value for those who work to support them. And we particularly remember today the work of MHA and the thousands of residents, members and families, the staff and volunteers in communities across this nation. We give thanks for the work of Woodlands here in Penrith and for all those who have helped and supported over the years and at this present time and in time to come. We pray that it may continue to be a community where love and grace are nurtured. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gentle God, we pray for tender care to all who are struggling through weakness, sickness, grief, or change. In the silence and in our hearts, We hold before you, Lord, those for whom life is very difficult, those who have difficult decisions to make and are unsure of the way to go. We hold before you, Lord, those who have difficult tasks to do and face, those who fear they may fail or fear to ask for help. We hold before you, Lord, those who know that they can be their own worst enemies. We hold before you, Lord, those who struggle with each new day because of their physical, mental, or emotional health. And we hold before you, Lord, those who are sad or grieving because someone they love has died or is ill or have experienced a loss in life. May we and all those we have remembered see your grace at work in and through the lives of others and ourselves today and in the days to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, mercy and love, we bring these prayers in the name of Jesus, who walked the road of our suffering, bringing healing and peace, and trusting in your love and faithfulness for eternity. Amen.
As we come to the communion table, we're going to sing the hymn. It's not in our hymn book, so the words will be on the screen. It's a prayer, really. A prayer that God would restore and revive the church. So we stand and sing together. Please be seated. So as we gather as family around the table, let's pray together. Lord God, you are the King, sovereign over all. You spoke and creation came into being. You are mighty, mighty God. Nothing too difficult. Nothing impossible for you. Holy Spirit, fall on us again. Your people, the body of Christ. Breathe, Holy Spirit, breath of God, new life into us. And you are able to do far more than we can think or even imagine. And we remember how you came to the rescue 2,000 years ago in the shape of your Son Jesus. Although we were lost, although we had wandered far from you, although we had turned our backs on you, you did not give up, but you came to our rescue. We thank you for his life and for his example, for the love that he has shown us, the love displayed. We remember how just before the cross he gathered his friends together. How at that Last Supper he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this and remember me." And we remember how then he took the cup of wine, and after he'd blessed it, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, Lord, we do just that. We remember and we proclaim his death and his resurrection until he comes again. And we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit now upon us, the body of Christ. Make us more and more like him as we receive these gifts of bread and wine. So, Lord, our prayer today is that you would build your church. Build your church, Lord. Make us strong. May the environment around us be changed. The atmosphere around us change because of all that you are doing at work in this place, in us and through us. So as we receive these gifts of bread and wine, we also give back. We offer our hearts, ourselves, as living sacrifices. Take us and use us, we pray, to your praise and your glory and the building of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. I think the last time when Phil Jackson was here, we'd gone back to the system of coming forward. So I will be here at the front. I think Audrey and Anne may be here as well with the wine. Please do come forward if you would like to receive the bread and the wine, symbols of to us of just how deep the Father's love is for us. You might want to make sure that you manage to keep a distance between one another still, just in courtesy to the people around you, although you're sitting quite close together sometimes in some bunches, but please do just think of other people as you're coming forward to receive these gifts of bread and wine. Come, for all is ready. broken for you. Body of Christ for you. The body of Christ.
Thank you.
Final prayer, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your deep, deep love for us. Thank you that you've never abandoned us, you've never let us go. Send us out into your world to be your people, to show your love in action to the people that we meet day by day. May that love, that peace, and that joy spread through our nation, we pray. So take us and use us to that end, if we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. And in the last verse it says, past put behind us for the future. Take us, Lord of the church. And so we sing together. Oh, we ought to have our offering as well, do we? Yeah, Debs is showing me the basket. So we'll have our offering for God's work and service as we sing our final hymn. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.